Mom? She must be passed out somewhere. The sitting room door is closed, and I push it open. It takes my eyes a moment to adjust to the darkness, but once they do, I wish I could step out of the room. The air freezes in my lungs and the ground under me shifts. A man stands over my bleeding brother. My brother's gray t-shirt, that's nearly threadbare, is coated in flecks of his blood. His jeans hang off his thin frame. My gaze bounces around the scarcely furnished sitting room before landing on my mother. The air re-enters my system, and I try to control my racing heart. My mother is in a heap in the corner. Her wild eyes won't settle on anything. Mascara runs down her worn face. I'm tempted to step closer to her, but a shove to my back sends a shiver up my spine. The gun is nudged into my back again until I'm standing in the center of the room.
What have we got here?
I spin around at the voice. It's deep and holds an edge like a sharp knife that nicks the skin. It makes me uncomfortable and cautious. Even without the gun, this man is dangerous. His bald head seems to absorb the light. Heavy browns curtain his blue eyes that assess me. He takes a step closer. The leather coat creaks as he reaches out a tattooed hand and lifts my blonde plait before dropping it back onto my bare shoulder. I want to yank my top up, but it's meant to hang off the shoulder, so I tighten my hands into fists.
You're a pretty little thing.
His grin is razor sharp, and alarm bells start to ring as I take a step back. What do you want? My voice sounds stronger than I actually feel.
Leave her alone.
Declan moans from the floor, and I'm relieved he's alive. His pale skin had me wonder if today was the day that I would find my brother dead. Now that I see he isn't dead, I wonder what mess he's gotten us into. I try to convey my question toward him with a stare that he meets briefly. His eyes slam closed as the man above him drives his black military-style boot into my brother's stomach. I move, but a hand pulls my arm and drags me back. Georgiana's humble abode was positioned perfectly for her growing business of fixing machinery. She was two streets east from tenant buildings crammed with families, and three streets west from the well-bred and the well-heeled. Her father had picked this particular town home. This was to be their safe haven. For once, Georgiana would share a room with her father. On the edge of her worn desk, Georgiana stood on the tip of her bare toes, one hand on the wall, the other refilling the oil lamp, another task left undone by the servants. Georgiana had never been to her father's native France, her northern accent evident enough, but her newly employed servants remembered her family's impoverished arrival the year before. The de Beaumers had yet to clean the stain of abject poverty from their newly risen status, or the memories of all the family members they'd lost along the way. Nearing the lamp's wick, her fingers itched. Georgiana had kept her distance from fire, her left hand and arm bearing the burn marks of a night she'd rather forget. The price of that fire was too great. The loss of a sister was unforgettable. Unforgivable.
Wendy,
he said as he settled onto the collapsed gurney.
I didn't know you were here. Please accept my condolences.
She nodded, but said nothing.
What's going on?
That child, she said, still clearly emotional. She isn't my daughter.
But...
Lenny, she said, you need to believe me. Chloe is dead. Bobby never told you. He didn't tell anyone he worked with. She died last year, during the summer break. That's why he broke friendships with everyone and became super private. He didn't want anyone to know. It's why we moved back to Orlando. We needed to start over, where no one knew us or what had happened. The child in that ambulance? She isn't her. She isn't Chloe. Out of everyone, I think I should know. Maggie had her shoulders pressed against the back of the driver's cabin, her heart hammering away inside her. She didn't know what to make of Wendy Russell's claim. Was it the shock of her husband's death causing her to say such things? Or was it something else that was responsible for her disowning her child?
I don't understand, Smits said. Would it help if we brought her in here?
No! Wendy looked suddenly horror-struck. Please, don't! That child has nothing to do with me! Except, Maggie said, we found her in your house, under your bed, and everyone can see she's the spitting image of your daughter. And I'm telling you, detective, I don't care what you think you know, you're both wrong. That girl isn't my Chloe.
It's shock, Smits said. You're in denial.
Wendy shook her head. Maggie had seen something similar before, only in reverse. A mother insisting that her child dead was still alive, even though the child had been lifeless and stiffened in her arms for hours. The truth in that particular incident had been easier to prove, but it had been no less disturbing at the time.